Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're taking a look this week at the Jubilee year. Especially now, I'm going to dial into the Jubilee year that we are in the midst of, which is a Jubilee of hope. I love the theme that Pope Francis chose. I love the passage that he chose. I think the timing is really in the Lord. I mean, obviously it is, but for some reason, it's really touched my heart. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at St. Paul's letter to the Romans, and in it is a key passage in chapter 5 that Pope Francis uses kind of the foundational passage for this Jubilee year. Touched on it a week or two ago, and I want to underline it again right now. Paragraph 2 of the Holy Father's document on the Jubilee, which is called Spes non confundit, which is taken from its hope does not disappoint from Romans 5:5. Here's paragraph 2, taking a look at a couple of verses he gives us from Romans 5. Since we are justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. Now, hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And he helps us understand elements of this. There's so much packed in just these two verses. But looking at the verses and going deeper really gives us a sense of the heart of what the Holy Father was leading us into, praying for, what he felt inspired to lead us into. And so we'll take a look at it. Since we are justified through faith, what's justification? What does it mean to be justified? It means to be set right in our relationship with God. And what was our problem? Alienation from God because of sin, because of the fall. And, you know, Paul at one point at the beginning of Ephesians said very succinctly and quite dramatically, you were dead in your sins. Friends, that is the human condition. And it's important to understand that. Every single person is born into sin. And we're dead in our sins, and we can't change that on our own. That's what the ultimate Jubilee in the person of Jesus Christ and what this document will tell us later. And we said Monday and Tuesday, Jesus is the Jubilee. Jesus is the Jubilee because he's the only one that can bring us out of that condition that St. Paul describes. You were dead in your sins. Paul will say later, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And Paul himself said, I'm the biggest sinner of all, basically, he was declaring. But to be justified means to have that broken relationship with God, that death-directed destiny, the enslavement to sin, to have that broken. And how did it happen? It happens through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In particular, the precious blood of Jesus is what cleanses us from sin and purifies us. And in baptism, strengthened in confirmation, but in baptism in particular is where the blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus Christ, is applied to our lives. And that precious blood of Jesus washes us clean. And we know really, I mean, Jesus spilt a lot of blood. He suffered so profoundly. He made his life an offering for sin, but it was an act of love, was the foundation of it all. And love conquered in Jesus on our behalf. Because not only was he raised from the dead because of his perfect love, because he was sinless, because of the death he died, the desire of the devil to kill him, Jesus was faithful to God the Father. He never fell, he never sinned, and his whole movement was toward the Father, loving the Father, obeying the Father, and being the new Adam, where Adam failed to stand, the one who didn't obey the Father, did not trust the Father. Jesus, the second Adam, gives to the Father everything that belongs to him, and he becomes a life-giving spirit. And this is what we mean by justification, that Jesus' act of love that saves us and brings down the kingdom of darkness, and the blood of Jesus that purifies us from sin, and applied to our lives in baptism, the old man in us, the sin-sick condition, is washed away, put to death, the stain of original sin. And then the Spirit that's in Jesus, the Jubilee, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And Jesus is the one who communicates the Spirit, and the Spirit is our way of participating in the life of God, which is the ultimate eternal Jubilee. And that act of purifying us and giving us God's life, the Christ life, rightly ordering us and bringing us into relationship with God the Father as his children, that's a total free gift accomplished through Jesus's offer of salvation, his fidelity to the Father, his love of the Father. That's what Paul means here by, since we are justified. And how do we access that? Through yes to Jesus, through entering the waters of baptism, through entering his church, saying yes to him totally. Our full intention, right from the core of our being is, Lord Jesus, you gave everything. I receive it and I give everything back to you. I'm yours. I belong to you. That's the most sane life you can live on earth. It begins there. Having goals and dreams and other things, that's totally fine. Can be wonderful. Can express wonderfully what the gifts God has given to us. But the only sane life begins here, with receiving the free gift of justification, of becoming a child of God. The passage goes on. It says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what happened. We were enemies of God, as St. Paul said at one place. And Jesus' act of love, the outpouring of his blood, made peace with God. Because in baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit, which unites us to Jesus. And Jesus is bringing us into his life with the Father in the Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian life. That's what it's all about. That's the only place of ultimate liberation. Everything else is on its way to death and eternal separation from God, to hell. That's really true. There's only two ways. I set before you life and death, blessing and a curse. That's it. And finding the right road, the narrow way, is the only true definition of success. It doesn't matter how we die and how many buildings, pictures, awards, whatever, pyramids exist to say, hey, that guy was amazing. That guy was great. We should remember him. The only thing worth celebrating ultimately is dying in the Lord, living and dying in the Lord. Because then you enter into the Jubilee, the eternal life that belongs to Jesus. Everything else on earth is going to pass away. The pyramids are going to pass away. Trump Tower is going to pass away. You know, everything's going to pass away. And he's going to make all things new. And he makes us new. The newness begins for us in baptism. And it's real. It's in the sense of, it's not just a one-time religious rite that we kind of remember. And then we have another one, confession. We remember that one. But we're talking here about radical transformation, total transformation, entering into the life that belongs only to Jesus, and he's the one who gives it, the beloved Son. So, since we are justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's those three words, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Savior. Christ, he's the anointed, the one filled with the Spirit, and he's Lord. And we're called to allow Jesus to deal with our sin, to welcome him, because he alone can take it away. Hide nothing from him, especially in this Jubilee year. Like, just go all out. Get to confession on a regular basis and receive the grace and the love of Jesus. And then the Christ, pay attention to the baptism you received if you've been baptized. Pay attention to the gift of the strengthening of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts we get at confirmation. And not just recognize that you once went through those rites, but embrace them as a living reality and then start pursuing them in faith. Lord, I believe this. I want to go deep. I want to follow you. I want to follow the saints. I want to get all that you desire for me in this life. He said, through whom we have obtained then, he said, and then Lord, excuse me, is the living under the Lordship of Jesus, learning to come under his authority, because that's critical. So the verse goes on. It says, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have obtained access. The door has been opened to the kingdom. Jesus is the door. He's the gate which we pass through. We have been given access because he who has total access has made his home in us now. And that process of coming, preparing for, beginning to live even now in the kingdom, but it's leading us to fullness in the kingdom. If we die, again, if we live and die in the Lord, we obtain access to this grace. Grace is what? God's gift. And that gift that's come to us in Jesus that I've just been describing, this gift of justification and new life, in which we stand. We stand. The Lord stood us up in the right way. He planted our feet in the soil of the kingdom, and he's leading us. And we get to stand in his presence. We have access to the Father. We're able to stand before the Father, not in shame and absolute frightening terror of rejection in our soul because we know we sin. No, we come now as his children, washed in the blood of Jesus, alive now in the Spirit. All of this originated in the heart of a loving Father. He desires us. And between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this Trinitarian work of salvation, of redemption, of saving, of bringing from death to life, it's God's action. It's God's intention. Because he does want each and every one of us to stand before him in freedom, having received mercy, radically in love with God, and knowing who we are as children of God, and then walking in that awareness, at the heart of which is a work of the Holy Spirit bearing fruit in us. As we stand in the fruits of God, the fruits of the Spirit in us, love begins to grow, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. This is a work of God in us. It's not just something that comes from rolling up our sleeves and trying harder. I mean, our will is part of it for sure. But it's an act of will that is surrender, of faith, trust, abandonment, giving ourselves to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And I know you have for me in this Jubilee year more freedom, freedom from sin, selfishness, opening my eyes to my neighbor, letting go of the things that I cling to that are my security blanket, so that I can give to others and love my neighbor. But know that right now, the already and the not yet is happening. The already is we can stand, as Paul says here. We obtained access in which we stand. He said, and we boast in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. How about that for a goal for the Jubilee year? To boast about what we've been given. That is to tell people, to declare it, to celebrate it. Boast in the hope. And then hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is the confident expectation that the promises of God are true and that you've already begun to inherit those promises and you're destined for absolute fulfillment of every promise the Father has ever given us, particularly in his Son, Jesus. Hope you can join me again tomorrow. There's more gold here that we want to mine. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.